Let's head out to the BetQL guest hotline. Say good morning to Merrill Hodge, who knows more about tailgate party tips than former NFL player Merrill Hodge. Nobody, I tell you. Merrill will discuss tips to bring the tailgating event from a parking lot to the backyard as well as right into your home. What's up, Merrill? How are you, Merrill?
Junkies, how are you, boys?
Hey,
listen, I got to paint a picture of all this. So you, at the end, I want you to rate me as far as how I paint the picture. If it's visually appealing, verbally,
okay.
When you let me go, okay.
Well, let's do it now.
You can do it now if you want.
Okay. All right. Okay. Here we go. Okay. So tailgate or home gate, you got to have a TV because that is exactly why you're doing. You got to watch it.
Yeah.
So use the LG OLED B4 TV. It's up to 83 inches. Ooh. It's got 8 million self-lit pixels. That means when you're outside, sometimes you can't see the picture.
Mm-hmm.
This one will be crystal clear. So you'll be able to see the game regardless if it's a sunny day. And then you got to hear it. You have to have old Dolby sound. It's got great Dolby sound. And then you're going to love this. $1,400 off selected sizes. Then you got to have something that's going to charge this whole thing. So the Jackery, if you've never heard of this, this one I'm dealing with looks almost like a cooler. Okay, I thought it was a cooler.
Right.
That's the size of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it will power everything you got from TV, phones, cable. It's the Jackery 1000 D2. That's important to understand. Portable, music, grill, phone, TV, you name it. And it has a solar panel, so it will stay all day. You go to overtime, don't worry about it. It'll be there.
Very nice.
Use the code. Use the code HOMEGATING. At Jackery.com, $200 off. I'm going to tell you this. This right here is a bad boy. And then you got to eat. You've heard of Sonic. They have the new Double Sonic Smasher. Okay, that is premium cheeseburger. Mm. Sonic, $7. Hand smashed, made to order Angus beef. I tell people all the time it's easier to buy them than it is to make them.
It's true.
So go get yourself a smasher for all of your guests. And then the
that's a lot of money. You've got a bunch of people over there.
Well, that is true. That is true. But it's going to cost you probably more if you got to go out and make them and more time. And so the Cricut Joy Extra. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. It's the DIY smart cutting machine. It looks like a printer, but it cuts up to like 50 materials: vinyl, cardstock, iron-ons, compact, fits spaces, so you don't need a big room for it. And it's a game changer for your tailgate because you can put team logos, players, your decals, your koozies, like them. Holding these koozies right now, they got all kinds of names on it. They built me a shirt that is actually cool as can be. I didn't know what it could do.
Like an Amazon link or something where people buy all this stuff.
I'll just say this. I was worried about specifics before this interview.
Should have
now
done
I'm
that.
Not worried.
Yeah.
Right. But it's the size of a printer. It's under $200, so it doesn't cost a lot. In fact, people do all. I mean, it's an incredible art. If you're into art and creating things and making things, endless.
Merrill, we need to come to your house.
Merrill, when you were playing in the NFL, did you ever pop over to tailgates before game?
This is actually when I got asked to do this. That's the first thing I visualized. I'm like, well, geez, every time I did that, you couldn't see the TV. But I looked at this TV. I'm like, good gosh. I swear to you, this is a 65-inch. I'm like, this is spectacular. I'm selling stuff. But I'm like, this is stupid. This picture is unbelievable. And then when I saw the cooler, I was like, what's this cooler doing here? And they go, that's the charger. I'm like, what? I looked at you, I'm like, it's unbelievable. I was like, things have advanced.
Merrill, when's the last time you were at a college football tailgate?
Oh, you know what? Decades.
Really?
I haven't been to very many college. Actually, probably last time, I think about Pitt, Notre Dame. When Notre Dame, my nephew was playing at Notre Dame, and they played at Pitt, and that was like 5-6 years ago. My son played at BYU too, so I shouldn't say decades. I mean, I went to a lot of BYU games where my
son wasn't
my
great. Can't imagine a tailgate scene. It's very hot there, though.
Yeah.
Well, can I tell you one of the greatest experiences as far as tailgate?
Yeah.
I still think it's the greatest sports fan in the country. Like, everybody should go there and learn how to be a fan, and that's in Nebraska.
Really? Why?
They were unbelievable. I've never been to a place like that.
It's huge. And
I know Shedeur Sanders didn't have a good time in Nebraska last weekend.
Yeah, Deion did.
As soon as I said that, I was like, I think Colorado would probably disagree with that. Based on their
they didn't have a lot of fun.
Hey, Merrill, do you like Deion as a person?
Well,
does he get on your nerves?
I'm just going to go based on what I know of Deion, because that's all I can do. You know, Deion and I worked together. I was on the USA football board. He came over. We've done a lot. And this was decades ago. We were trying to give youth football some direction. And he was a part of the board and what we met with the NFL, him, me, and Tony Dungy. Have you heard of the Heads Up program?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Youthful. Okay. Well, actually, I helped create that. And at the end of the day, Chuck Knoll created that because I took all of the playbook, our principles of how you play the game, out of our Steeler playbook by Chuck Knoll, and that is heads-up football. I gave all the footers that you talked about heads-up football and what we're doing with youth football in the direction was all derived from Chuck Knoll's principles and how you play the game, same foot, same shoulder, rising below first contact wins. Said you play like that, you're a better, safer player. And that's what heads up football has built off of that. And Deion was a part of that. And my experience with him, I enjoyed working. He's passionate about football.
Gotcha.
And he was passionate about it then. And that's my experience with him. You know, I can't go into what I hear or what other people hear. Mm-hmm. My experience was a great one with Deion.
All right, so Merrill, we're excited to have you on to kind of give your assessment. And it's not fair because it's just one game on Jaden Daniels. But the last time we had you on the show, you made some waves talking about Caleb Williams not being special and Drake May getting somebody fired. What's your week one assessment of Jaden before we get to the others?
He was the best of all three. And I've watched all of them on tape. I mean, he was the best from this perspective. How he went about processing, he was outstanding. His accuracy, outstanding. Where he really elevated is the difference from those other guys. And that's why he had the advantage going in and transitioning. What he can do with his legs is really unique and special. And I loved seeing how he protected himself and was smart when he did use his legs. But the way he processed and worked from the pocket and his accuracy in which he do that, aside from the very first throw of the game, which I know his very first throw, I got to start my career off like this. I know of nobody that probably started their career off with their first completion minus, 10 yards or 15 yards, whatever it was.
Right.
It doesn't end up being a completion, but, you know, the fumble. When he threw it behind the line of scrimmage.
Whatever
you
call it. Yeah, fumble.
Yeah, did he miss some throws? Did he do rookie stuff? Yes, but very minimal compared to the other two. And that's not shocking. This is what he did at LSU. You would expect that he would handle himself like that because that's the skill set that he had. That's why, you know, Caleb Williams is struggling and has a long, long ways to go. And it's going to be an arduous journey for him, by the way.
All right. Can you explain the difference? And before you get into Caleb, though, are you concerned that Jaden wasn't able to make the progressions to get rid of, or is he just pressured so quickly that you can't even blame him?
He didn't have a completion beyond 10 yards.
Well, I don't think much of these other guys had bigger completions either. You know, that was interesting. I'll answer your question, but I'm going to digress a little bit. I'm watching the Chargers, and I'm like, man, there's an emphasis at quick, you know, throwing the ball quickly, getting rid of it, making completions and moving on and taking your shots. You know, think about it. The hardest completion is a deeper shot. You know, now you got to do those. Those explosive plays are a critical component at being a complete offense, so you got to do that. But that was amazing as I've got about halfway through the league. I'm like, there's a high emphasis on short, intermediate, quick, get rid of the football, complete, move, and then try to find your explosive, you know, play. And I know he missed the one, you know, and I don't – to me, that doesn't bother me because he made the right decision. It just wasn't the right throw. But he is accurate enough to make those things, and it will eventually happen for him. But I wasn't – I would tell you this. Of all the guys that I watched, of the three guys that started their rookie day, he was clearly the best by a wide margin.
All right, and then did you give us your – why do you think Caleb's going to struggle so much?
Well, it's what I said about him when he came out. I mean, he doesn't know how to function from the pocket, and that's a real problem. He has no pocket awareness. He has no – the second he has pressure and it collapses, keep in mind, 70% of the throws in our league are about pressure and collapsed pocket. His head drops. It drops right down, and this is the most troubling thing about a guy – who sees pressure versus feels pressure. That position, you have to feel it. And to transition from seeing it to feeling it, I'm telling you, that is a massive hurdle. And then the thing actually probably really, and I don't think, so then he doesn't process very well. You know, he doesn't see things, he misses things, he gets stuck on a player and he stays on a player. And I expected that too, because he was so bubble screen, quick screen, RPO. That's all they did, you know, learning how to read through progressions and understand defenses, and you have no pocket presence and no pocket awareness. I mean, I can't even tell you how mind-boggling and overwhelming that is. it's going to get worse and worse. Their offensive line, I thought they were below average. You know, they didn't help him out at all. And then, you know what, actually, the thing I loved about him, he was very accurate, and he was all over the place. He was as erratic. But then if you go to his footwork and just how he is, he completely breaks down fundamentally and the structure it takes to win this league. And that's what I was saying he did in college. He won a Heisman Trophy by being creative and running around. Hard to break that. Hard to retrain that. The one thing that he actually did need is that's one kid who needed a year to sit on the sideline, because this year could be, you know, it'd be interesting to see what happens. It could be a huge, I always tell people, those kids get ruined mentally way before they get ruined physically, you know, and it'll be interesting how the year ends up for him, but, you know, hopefully they can fight through it and he can find ways of growth throughout this year, but it's going to be a hard challenge.
Merrill, we know you're on a busy schedule. We appreciate the time, man. Thanks again. We'll talk to you again soon.
Junkies, you're the best. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, pal. Does that give you any pause, JP, or no?
Yes.
You've been big.
Well, I went
back
and looked at what Hodge said about Caleb Williams before, and he did say he's extremely accurate. But he said on the move, where you see some of these spectacular plays, which maybe I'm just swept away by watching all the collegiate highlights of Caleb Williams, but he said that on the move, Caleb's not that good. Mm-hmm. Which, when I watch it, I mean, Caleb makes incredible plays on the move.
There are plenty of people that are reputable that would say the complete opposite.
Correct. The numbers right now are not favorable for Caleb Williams in terms of accuracy. Now, I saw one analyst saying that one preseason game where he threw 20 balls, I think he was 9 for 20, that there were a bunch of drops. And I know he had a touchdown that was dropped by Keenan Allen in this game.
Yep.
So we'll see. But yeah, it makes me pause. But as Jason said, there are some people, and obviously the Bears organization, that believe that he's the best.
Yeah, but I wonder if they still do.
Well, it's been one game. They're going to give him more than just one game.
I think I get a good sense from like training camp, like what you got. I think you kind of know.
They may be looking at Jaden and saying, ooh, maybe we should have taken him at number one.
But it's not like Jaden did anything in the passing game.
Not yet.
But that just shows you there's more room for him.
I agree. He's got to prove
the passing game.
I'm not saying, Jaden may ultimately be a star. He should be. We hope he is. He's the number two pick.
Yeah.
But he didn't have one completion beyond 10 yards, Cakes.
I'm quite sure he will.
Did
in
he
week
pass
two.
For more yards than Caleb Williams in his
yes.
debut?
Yes, he did.
You know the context of a lot of that yardage.
Understood. But
what was the context of a lot of that yardage, Cakes?
Who had a better debut?
Just answer the question.
Tell me how he got most of those yards.
The context was the last drive.
Yes.
But who cares?
As Cakes said, it was Kirk Cousins-like stat padding.
The starters were still in. They were still pressuring.
Here's all the context you need. Top 10 in passing yards, top 10 in rushing yards in his rookie debut on the road against a playoff team. It's a pretty good debut. I like that. I like the context of what Jaden Daniels did.
I'm ready to baptize you.
Overall numbers,
I'm going to get a robe. I'm going to baptize you.
It's been one game. Understood. But what
it's
if he,
one game.
What if he has a better second game?
Doesn't matter. I'll say it's been two games.
All right, hold on, Jason. Were you impressed or
now,
not
in two
impressed?
Two years? Okay, different story.
Were you impressed or not impressed?
I gave him a B.
Okay. So you were impressed.
I think I gave him a B.
Overall impressed. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't see much of the – I only saw highlights of the Bears game, so I didn't see that. But based on the numbers, I probably would have given him a D, right? But, yeah, I mean, he clearly was the best out of the three rookies. But
I'm not going to go as far as
Caleb Williams isn't special. Drake May's going to get a guy fired.
It's way too early for any of that.
You got to judge these guys after 3 years, not after one game.
I wish Cakes graded my papers when I was in school.
I'm such a good grader. I'm a very liberal grader. You do wish I was your teacher back in high school. B plus. Absolutely.
I got blasted.
When we come back, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see HF Festival at Nationals Park. That's happening. Hello. Next weekend. Your chance to win those tickets next on The Fan.